verse tells us all the things that we're going to have when we get to heaven. It would be a blessing to not have to be limited by what we have to deal with now. Let's have a word of prayer.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us together today. We ask that you bless our time together, help us to use it in a good way. We thank you for your guiding hand that shows us the way and all that we should do, the way we should live. We ask that you would help us to remember your great command that just guides us in all the ways that we need to go and will help us to do the right things. We ask that you bless our time of prayer. Pray for those that are ill in our church or have special needs. Pray that you look down on them with your mercy. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let's take our hymn books again and turn to number 52. To God be the glory, great things he hath done.
Giving her a love offering, as we normally do for our missionaries when they come and speak to us.
And then on the weekend of October 21 and 22, Lorenzi's will not be able to be here again that weekend. So we've asked the Hitchens, Bob and Charlotte, to come and be here that weekend. And that Saturday, the 21st, we will be having one of our church breakfasts. We haven't had one of those in a long time. So we'll have a good time. Everybody will bring some food. Then we'll have a good time of singing. Brother Hitchens does real well with that kind of thing. And then, of course, he'll be here for that Sunday as well, the 22nd, in Sunday school and the morning service, teaching and preaching. Okay? So those are the main announcements I have right now. Let's do our memory verse. For this week, starting today, we're learning Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. There's been some confusion as to which one of the verses in Ephesians 6 we're learning, and I'm sorry about the confusion. I try to announce it as best I can. We just finished verse 12. Now we're moving on to verse 13. We'll be learning that this week. A lot of you, I think, already know the whole passage. I understand, so that's okay. Ephesians chapter 6, we're learning verse 13 for this week, but let's say the whole passage together, verses 10 through 13, all right? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, we'll say those together. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. All right, very good. I know we'd like to keep going and say all the way through verse 18, but we're not there yet. All right, very good. I hope these verses are a blessing to you as you learn them or relearn them in many cases, okay? Let's take our books again, and we'll turn to number 59. Number 59 in the hymn book.
Thank you. strength when I am weak, and you are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, taking my sin, my cross, my shame, and rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all. So worthy is your
name. Wonderful, isn't it? Worthy is the Lamb. Boy, I tell you, that was some good singing today. Good special. Amen. I almost don't want to ruin it. Seriously. It was really, really good. Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. And I hope that He is your all in all. Amen. And, you know, just because you're saved doesn't mean He's your all in all. We got to get to that place in our Christian lives where He is our all in all. Amen. And we realize that. Well, if you have a Bible this morning, would you be so kind to turn to Psalms chapter 15, please? Psalms chapter number 15. It's certainly good to be in the Lord's house today. Beautiful day outside, no doubt about it. Amen. I almost want to hold the service on the lawn next door, but I hear it's not the churches, so we'll all get locked up today, amen, for trespassing. And this morning I want to preach a little bit this morning on a topic in the Bible, a topic about the upright. A few years ago, probably five years ago, I did a study in the Bible on the statement or the phrase the upright, and I went through that in preparation for this, and just kind of pulled out, if you will, maybe just the core message of it, because we obviously can't look at every verse in the Bible that speaks about the upright. That's for sure. Amen. Because you'll not be upright after a while. And men be slumping over sleeping, amen. But nonetheless, Psalm 15 to me is a chapter that describes what upright means from a biblical perspective. Now, we have to understand there's a difference between those that are basically upright in the world, you know, upright meaning they're honest people, they're good people, they're moral people. You know, from a worldly perspective, there are some upright people, if you will. But there's a big difference between being upright in the world and upright in the Lord. Amen. A big difference. I mean, matter of fact, because of the way of our world, twisting everything, twisting morality. Amen. You can call many people upright who are just downright scoundrels. There ain't no doubt about it. And so when we're talking about the upright, we're talking about those that are upright from a biblical perspective. Amen. And that's what I want to focus on. And I want to just take a moment to read chapter 15 of Psalm, because it's just a few verses, but the verse describes what it is to be upright. And then I want to give you a couple thoughts about being upright. In fact, let me just start with this introductory thought. The upright are believers, they're already saved, okay? They're believers who adhere to morally correct behavior. That's what it is to be upright. It's to be a believer who adheres to morally correct behavior. Now, I think that the word adhere is a big word. And what that really means, to adhere to something, is this: to stick to it. To stick to it. You know, it's easy to be upright when everything's going right. But when everything starts to fall around you and fall apart and everything, it's not the easiest thing to maintain that uprightness, if you will. Amen. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about the upright, if you will. Those that are believers who adhere, if you will, to morally correct behavior. Amen. Look at Psalm 15, because it really describes the morally correct, the upright, if you will. He said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now, David, if you will, is asking a question. And I think it could be taken two ways. I think there's a reference here in reference to the priest who would work and minister in the holy place and in the temple and so on. But I also think, by way of application, it is those who would get close to the Lord. Who is it that can get close to the Lord? And that's the question that David's asking. Who are those people that can actually get close to the Lord, if you will? And then the answer begins in verse number 2. And this is where he describes the upright, if you will. He that walketh, what? Uprightly, and he goes on to say, and walk and worketh righteousness. By the way, now you can understand, to walk upright means that you're working righteousness, you're doing right. He goes on, he that speaketh the truth in his heart. Verse number 3, he says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Verse number 4, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt, and what? Changeth not. In other words, he adheres to morally correct behavior. Verse number verse number 5, he that putteth not out his money to usury among the children of Israel. They were not to try to make merchandise of their own brethren. They were not to tax them or cause them interest, if you will, and more than they should bear. In other words, taking advantage of people, especially in their time of need. In fact, I think we live in a day and an age where that happens all the time. Prices go up when the needs are go up. Amen. Verse number 5, he says, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now, I want to give you 3 points this morning that speak about the upright. The first thing I want to talk about this morning is what I'm calling the explanation of the upright. The explanation. In other words, I want to just explain to you from the Bible
Who are the upright, if you will? Who are these believers that adhere to morally correct behavior? And by the way, I wrote down quite a few of these verses so we don't have to do a whole lot of turning. When I have a lot of verses, I try to write them down because I obviously can't remember them all. But nonetheless, I'd like to be able to just simply quote them for you to save some time. But here's the explanation of the upright. Who are the upright, if you will? Who are those believers who adhere to morally correct behavior? These believers or these that are upright are those that love the Lord. Love the Lord. Love for the Lord is one of the first things that describe the upright. In fact, let me quote for you Song of Solomon 1:4. It says, "The upright love thee." It's a reference, if you will. The nation of Israel can be referring to God. The church refers to the Lord Jesus in the book of Song of Solomon. We have a great picture there. But the upright love thee. You see, those that are upright and love the Lord are those that will live for the Lord. In fact, there's 7 references in the Bible using the term. In fact, we're in the Psalms. Would you just go back to chapter 7 for a moment? Psalms chapter number 7. And I want you to look at verse number 10. Psalm 7 and verse number 10. The upright are those who love the Lord. In Psalm 7, verse number 10, it says this, "My defense is of God, which saveth what? The upright in heart." Amen. 7 times there's a reference in the Bible to being upright in heart. 3 times there's a reference to the statement of uprightness of heart. Listen, those that outwardly are upright and live morally according to the word of God, first and foremost, they're upright on the inside. Amen. They are those who love the Lord. So when we explain the upright, the explanation of the upright, A, they love the Lord. And here's the second thing about those that are upright, if you will, and by way of explanation, not only do they love the Lord, but these are people that fear the Lord. They fear the Lord. Now that word fear in great measure means this. They have great respect for the Lord. Great respect for the Lord. Let me quote a verse for you if I can. Proverbs 14:2, if you will, just the first part of it. "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord." Amen. And so the upright explained are who are those who adhere to morally correct behavior according to the word of God. These are the people who love the Lord. These are the people who fear the Lord. But then the third description and the final description as we go through the explanation of the upright, they are not only people who love the Lord and they are not only people who fear the Lord, but I might say this, they are people who obey the Lord. The upright are those who love the Lord, fear the Lord, and obey the Lord. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter number 22, if you'll turn there with me for a moment, I appreciate that. Just go back a little bit to 1 Samuel chapter number 22. The explanation of the upright. Who are these believers who adhere to morally correct behavior no matter what? Who are these people? These are the people who love the Lord from their heart and who fear the Lord, who honor the Lord, who have great respect for the Lord. And these are those not only who love the Lord and fear the Lord, but these are those who obey the Lord. And by the way, I think love and fear are the motivations to obedience. We obey the Lord when we love the Lord. And in fact, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Amen. When we honor the Lord, when we love the Lord and fear the Lord, we will obey the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 22. Let's begin in verse number 22. 1 Samuel 22 and verse number 22. The Bible says this, "And David said unto," you know what, am I in the right chapter here? No, I'm not. I should be in 2 Samuel, right? I wrote first. I should be second. My fault. 2 Samuel chapter 22. I'm getting you all familiar with the scriptures this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And if that's not it, I'm moving on. All right, 2 Samuel 22. Yes, verse number 22. Notice what David said, if you will. This is David speaking. He said in verse number 22, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them." In other words, he's living for God. Verse number 24 is the key. "I was also what? Upright before him and have kept myself from what? Mine iniquity." Amen. And so the upright explain, the explanation of the upright people, according to the word of God, are those who love the Lord, those who fear the Lord, those who obey the Lord. In fact, one of the great examples that we can find in scripture is, if you'll turn to Job chapter number one, one of the greatest examples we can find in scripture, I believe, of an upright person would be Job. Amen. I want to be upright. I really do. I want to be a person who lives for the Lord no matter what. Amen. That's what I want to be. And I pray that God help me to become that more and more. Amen. Job chapter number one, would you look at verse number one? The Bible says this: "There was a man." And that's wonderful, isn't it? The fact that he was a man, but yet he still was able to be upright. Amen. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright." What did he do? "And one that feared God and eschewed evil." He was up. He was perfect. Perfect does not mean he was sinless. Perfect means he was complete. And many believe it just simply means he was wholehearted. Amen. Job was a man who had a heart for God, who loved God. Amen. And he was an upright man, no doubt about it. He feared God. He eschewed evil. He did not live in sin. Amen. Look at verse number 8, if you will, please, of the same chapter. Job's a wonderful example of an upright man, a man who loved God, a man who feared God, a man who obeyed God. In verse number 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Now look at chapter number 2, if you would, please. Chapter number 2, the same book, chapter number 2. You see, the upright are those who adhere to morally correct behavior. Those who live right no matter what. Look at chapter 2, verse number 3, and I want you to get it. It says this: "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" By the way, didn't we read that already? Yeah, we read something like it in chapter 1. But between chapter 1 and chapter 2, what happened? Job lost his whole family, except for his wife. Job lost all of his finances, if you will. You can read the chapter one after another. Somebody comes in and says, "Job, something terrible happened. You lost all of this." "Job, something terrible happened. You lost all of that." Now, I can understand Job in the beginning, chapter number one, upright, fearing God, obeying the Lord, and then going through all that he went through to read chapter 2, verse number 3. Let's find out how he is now. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him still in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." In other words, after Job went through all that he went through, he still was upright. How many of us lose our Christianity when we don't eat on time? I've seen some preachers lose it because they were hungry. You've probably seen the same, amen. What I'm saying, you know that to be true. Amen. They call it hangry. They get hangry. Hungry and angry at the same time. What's the matter with you? No, matter of fact, commercials now, I'm not advocating TV. But anyway, commercials, you'll see a guy, maybe somebody speaking and they say, "Give him a Snickers bar." How many people know what I'm talking about? Any unholy people like me? And give him a Snickers bar. Why? He's just not himself when he's hungry. He's just somebody else, somebody different. And the truth of the matter is, and you know this, brothers and sisters in Christ, when everything's going right, it sometimes is easier to be that Christian that we ought to be. Just don't get in my way. How many have had the testimony, "I was perfectly fine. I was spirit filled. I was whistling Dixie. I was just grand until I ran into you. And all of a sudden, everything just went south." In other words, we're blaming our lack of Christianity for somebody else. Amen. The fact of the matter, listen, the upright, the explanation of the upright. Who are the upright? Who are those who adhere to biblical morality? Who are those who live right? Who are the upright? They love the Lord, not only when everything's going good. They honor and respect and fear the Lord, not only when everything's gone right. They obey the Lord, not only when everything's gone right. Amen? Let me give you the second point, and I'm moving right along. We noted, number one, the explanation of the upright. I want you to note, number two, what I'm going to call the expectation of the upright. The expectation of the upright. In other words, what can upright people expect? I'm going to tell you what they can expect and just give you some thoughts here. In fact, I want you to turn. We're in the neighborhood. Job lives right next to Psalms. Look at Psalm 37, 37, if you would, please. Psalm 37, 37. We got the explanation of the upright. And by the way, I hope and pray that if you're a Christian, your desire is like mine. I want to be an upright person. I want to be a person who lives for God no matter where I'm at, no matter what's going on. Amen? No matter what happens, I want to be able to live for God. Amen? But what can these type of people expect? What can a person who lives for God the way they ought to, what can they expect? And the first thing I want you to know that they can expect this, they can expect blessings. They can expect blessings. If you and I will live for God the way that we ought to live for God, we can expect the blessing of God. We can, amen? In fact, I want you to note how the Bible tells us this. In Psalm 37, look at verse number 37, if you would, with me. Mark, the perfect man. Now, by the way, we have anybody named Mark in here? I have a brother named Mark. At one time, this was his life's verse. But he would read it, Mark, the perfect man, you know? But he's not. Nonetheless, Mark the perfect man means this. Note the perfect man. Note the mature man. Note, if you will, the one that's living for God. Here's what it says. Mark the perfect man and behold the what? The upright. See, the upright and the perfect, the wholehearted, they're the connected, they're the same. And it goes on to say this. For the end of that man is peace. The Bible says that God said to the nation of Israel, oh, that you had obeyed me, then had thy peace been as of a river. You see, those who live for God, those who do what they ought to do, no matter what's happening around them, these are the people that are blessed with the peace of God. Everything can be falling apart. Everybody can be falling apart all around you. But if you and I will live for God, although we might not have peace in all of our circumstances and situations, we can have peace in our hearts while we're in those crazy situations. There's an old song. I don't know how many people remember it. He gives peace in the midst of the storm. Amen. We can expect blessings. I want you to see this other one. Would you turn? We're in the Psalms. Would you turn to Psalm 84? I want you to put your eyes on this one. This is the best verse that I think really expresses it. Psalm 84. And I want you to know, see, if you and I are going to be upright, if you and I are going to be what God wants us to be, if we're going to have love for God, fear for God, fear of the Lord, if we're going to be obedient to, if we're going to be upright people, we can expect his blessings. We can expect blessings. Psalm 84, would you look at verse number 11? In fact, this is a great memory verse. If you've never memorized, this is a great memory verse. It says this, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Notice what it says. The Lord will give grace and glory. Look at the next statement. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Let me quote a verse for you. You don't have to turn here, but Proverbs 28:10, part B. Listen to this. The upright shall have good things in possession. Verse number, or here's another Psalm. Psalm 34:10. I'll quote it for you. Part B. They that seek the Lord shall not want or mean lack any good thing. Amen. The Bible really, really expresses the fact that you and I, when we live for God and we do the right thing and we're what we ought to be, we will be blessed of the Lord. Amen. Now, let me just say this. Not only will we be blessed, but I believe the upright are a blessing. In the book of Proverbs, and I'll quote them for you because I wrote them down. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse number 11, here's what it says. The tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. What does that mean? To me, that means this. When you and I are upright, not only will we be blessed personally, but I believe that our homes can be blessed by being upright. Amen. And there's another verse for you. Proverbs 11:11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. You see, I believe that upright people can be a blessing not only to themselves, and they can be a blessing to their own families, and they can even be a blessing to their own communities. Amen. In fact, I think one of the greatest examples of this can be found in the life of Joseph. As you know, by the way, Joseph was an upright man. Joseph was an upright man who, because of the vision that God had given him, the word that God had given him, was thrown in a pit, was eventually sold to slavery to Potiphar. But what happened in Potiphar's house because of the uprightness of Joseph? God blessed Potiphar and Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake. What happened when Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife? He maintained that uprightness and he did not do the wrong thing. He honored the Lord. He feared the Lord. He was upright. In fact, he was so upright that he was thrown in prison because he was falsely accused. But what happened in the prison house? You see, it wasn't only Potiphar's house that was blessed because of the uprightness of Joseph, but the prison house was blessed because no matter where he went, because he was what God wanted him to be, God blessed him. And when God blessed him, God made him a blessing. By the way, you and I can't be a blessing until we're blessed. I believe just like Jesus took the fishes and the loaves to feed the multitudes, one of the first things he did with those, by the way, people would say, we got a few of these for 4,000 or for 5,000, but what are these among so many? These among so many are enough when they're blessed of God. Amen. And you know what Jesus did? He took the bread and he blessed them and then he broke them. In fact, blessed and broken is what we need to be if we're going to be a blessing to others. Amen. No doubt about it. But the fact of the matter was, look at Joseph. His uprightness, he became a blessing in Potiphar's house. He became a blessing in the prison house. And then eventually, he became a blessing to the nation of Egypt. And then to his own nation. We read in the scriptures that God used him to save alive his people. Amen? Thank God for the upright. The upright are not only blessed, but the upright are a blessing. In fact, I believe in Job, as we're talking about Job. Job was an upright man and a perfect man. We've all read that, right? But here's what it says in Job 1:10. God blessed all that he had. Remember the devil, when the Lord said, have you considered Job? And the devil said, I sure have. But you have protected him. You put a hedge about him. You protect him and all that he has. Amen? But let me quote this for you, because I don't want you to misunderstand something. I am not preaching a prosperity gospel, as we call it, where preachers get up and say, bless God, you live right and do right, God will give you an airplane. Bless God, you live right and God will give you that mansion on a hilltop. Listen, being blessed of God doesn't mean you're going to have everything. Amen. You can have nothing but the blessing of God and make it. Amen. And in fact, here's a verse I believe that really sums it up for us to understand. Don't turn there, but let me quote it for you. Proverbs 28:6, and I wrote this down, no matter what, the upright life is the better life. Watch this verse, Proverbs 28:6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Proverbs says it's better to be poor. It's better to have nothing and to do right and to be blessed of God than to have everything and be a crook. Amen? You and I, if we would be upright, if we would be people that love the Lord and fear the Lord and obey the Lord, we can expect God's blessing. No doubt about it. But I'm going to tell you something else we can expect. I wish I could stop right there and close it and say, let's move on to the next point. But the fact of the matter is, if you are going to determine to be what God wants you to be, you can expect more than blessings. You can expect battles. You can expect battles. Amen. And this is the truth, no doubt about it. In fact, I wrote several verses down, so you don't even have to turn. I would just ask that you'll listen to them. Let me quote for you. Psalm 11:2. Here's what it says. David said this, "For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." In other words, David said, my enemies are ready to shoot at the upright in heart. Here's another verse for you. Psalm 37:14. The wicked have drawn out the sword. They have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. The word conversation means lifestyle. When you are going to live for God and be what God wants you to be, when you're going to be an upright person from a biblical perspective, yes, you can expect the blessings, but you got to also expect battles. Amen. No doubt about it. Here's one of the reasons why I want you to get this. Proverbs 29:27. Again, I quote Proverbs 29:27. An unjust man is an abomination to the just. What does that mean? That means this. The lifestyle of many of the wicked are disgusting. Can I get a witness on that one? I didn't say I hate them. You understand that? God, we got to love them. We got to pray for them. We got to pray for them to get saved. But the lifestyle of many are disgusting. Amen? No doubt about it. And it's getting worse. It is getting worse. Amen? I don't even want to go off. In my mind, I want to go off, but I'm not going to do it. I don't want to talk about, I won't even call him Caitlin. Can I get a witness on it? It's disgusting. And the like such things. And listen, when you're saved and when you're a Bible student, when you got God's word in your heart, this kind of lifestyle is foreign. Amen. And God help it to always be foreign. Amen. These crazy churches that accept all this stuff, that is, it's crazy. But nonetheless, here's what the verse says. Proverbs 29:27, watch it. An unjust man is an abomination to the just. Now get the next statement. And he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. What does that mean? You and I, listen, if you and I are going to be the kind of Christians we ought to be, if we're going to be upright Christians, if we're going to be people that love the Lord, fear the Lord, and obey the Lord, let me tell you what the world is not going to do. The world is not going to like you. Not going to happen. In fact, the Bible in John 17, Jesus said to the Father, he said, Father, I've given the disciples thy word, and the world hath hated them. Because they're not of the world. Amen? Hey, woe unto you when the world loves you. Amen? The reason the world didn't love Jesus is because he was a light. He exposed darkness. Men hate the light, John 3:19, and don't want to come near the light, and they run from the light. Amen? And let me tell you something, you and I in this dark day, if we're going to let our light so shine, if we're going to be the kind of Christians we ought to be, hey, lights expose things. Amen? Amen? And people don't like to get around the light. Amen? And the lifestyle of many of the world today, they come near, they find out their lifestyle is really, really, really wrong. It's not right. They're not going to like that. They're not going to like you. Amen? And that's the truth. That is the truth. This is why many Christians have a hard time being upright among the lost. We want to be liked. We want to be accepted. We don't want, hey, Jesus said, if they rejected me, they'll reject you. We don't want rejection. We want acceptance. We want this, that, and the other thing, amen? But that's not what we're here for. Now, I'm not talking about being unkind. I'm not talking about being foolish and stupid or anything like that. Amen. I believe you can watch the news and you can see some stupid churches and stupid people doing some stupid things in the name of God that ain't going nowhere. You know, you go running to some kind of a military funeral, putting up signs that God hates this type of people and that. Amen. Ridiculous. Not wise at all. But the fact of the matter, as we live our daily lives and come into contact with unholy and ungodly people, may God give us wisdom and kindness and generosity and everything else we need, but may we speak the truth in love as he opens doors, though we'll not be accepted. In fact, they hate us. They hate us. They hate people that speak the truth. Amen. No doubt about it. In fact, I have a verse for that, I believe. Listen to this verse. I wrote it down. Amos 5:10. Listen. Amos the prophet was preaching to God's people, preaching to them that they need to get right with God because God was going to chasten them. They were living wickedly. Here's what the Bible says in Amos 5:10. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate. Now the gate at that time would have been pretty much the place of where the official business was taking place. You could say it was the government official business place. Go to City Hall in Philadelphia and start preaching and proclaiming the truth. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, I'm ashamed to say that Philadelphia, you know, hosts the, you know, gay pride parades and all this other stuff. It's a shame. It's disgusting. Amen? We cannot let this world extinguish the truth. Amen? Not at all. But anyway, here's what they say. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. The preacher who preaches against the sins of the people abhor that kind of preaching. Amen? And that kind of living and so on. By the way, this is where we are, folks. This is where we are, and it's even going to get worse. Amen? It is going to get worse. The United States is not as friendly to Christianity, amen? And they're not as tolerant to us neither as they want us to be to everybody else. Only tolerate, you know, the wicked and wrong and evil. Do not tolerate those righteous nuts. Bible bangers and thumpers and everything else, amen? To many of these people and their lifestyles, we're the problem. We're the problem. They would not be reminded. We're the mirrors, by the way. They don't say it this way. We're the mirrors that show them what they are and how wrong they are. We're the ones that are bringing God into the situation and morality from God's point of view in the situation. And they don't like it. They don't want it. Amen? If you're going to be upright, you can expect blessings from, you no doubt expect blessings, but expect battles. Look with me, if you would, please, in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy. So we're noting the expectation. The explanation of the upright. Who are the upright? They're believers who adhere to morally correct behavior. They're believers who live right and live for God. They love God. They fear God. They obey God. These are the upright. These upright people can expect God's blessing. They can be rejected by everybody, but they can be blessed of God. Amen? But they also can expect battles. No doubt about it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to notice verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. I got to get there. I get off track and I stop turning. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Look at verse number 1. Notice what Paul said. This know also. Paul speaking to Timothy. He said, this know also that in the last days, now if their last days were supposed to be this bad, how bad are the last days today? Amen. He said this, in the last days, perilous. That word perilous is dangerous. Dangerous. Time shall come. What's going to make things so bad? Look at verse number 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's one of the worst things right there. You know, we instinctively love ourselves. The Bible says that. Men instinctively love themselves, and that's fine because I love myself, I don't smash my hand with a hammer. I love myself too much, I don't want to feel that pain, you know. But this right here is an excessive love for self. This is the kind of love for self that love for God's not even in it. Here's why times are so perilous and so dangerous. Men love themselves. Whatever happened to love God first and love your neighbor as yourself, that's gone. Look at verse number 2. Men shall be lovers of themselves. They shall be covetous, ever wanting more, never content. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and look at this, unholy. Verse 3, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, mean no restraint, no control, fierce, despisers of those that are what? Might I use the word upright? These people who love themselves, these people who are proud and boastful, these people who seek everything about themselves, they don't like good people. They don't like upright people. Amen? In fact, they're the ones that call them goody two-shoes. Right? Look at verse number 4. They're traitors. They're heady. They're high-minded. Note the next statement. They're lovers of what? Pleasures more than lovers of God. They love immorality of every kind. Immorality is spreading rampantly. Amen. They love it. They love drugs and alcohol. This is all pleasure, by the way. Drugs and alcohol. They love all of these things more than they love God. It goes on to say, verse number 5, having a form of godliness. By the way, it's amazing how these type of people can be wrapped in some kind of garment of godliness. Some of them, they act like everything's okay between them and the Lord. But here's what it says. But they denied the power thereof. Not really saved. Amen. They might have a Bible under their arm, but not really saved. Perilous times. Now watch this. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 10. Because Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he's saying, Timothy, dangerous times are coming. Here's what men are going to be like. And here's what he says to Timothy in verse number 4. But thou. I like what he says, but thou. You see, what he's trying to say to Timothy, you be different. You be different. Watch what he says. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience. In other words, you've known how I lived. By the way, I would think verse number 10 describes Paul being upright. But verse number 11, you know what persecutions I've gone through. You know what afflictions came unto me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and what persecutions I endured. But out of the law, the Lord delivered me. Now look at verse number 12. Here's what I want you to see. By the way, Paul in verse number 10 said, Timothy, you know how I lived. He lived upright. And what was the reaction to it? Verse 11, persecutions. But here's what he says in verse number 12. Get this, ready? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. They that live godly in Christ. Now that word will means something. It means they want to live godly. They might not even necessarily be where they ought to be, but they want to be. Amen? Persecution comes to those who are upright and who want to be upright. No doubt about it. In fact, look at chapter number 2 of the same book. See, Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, days are coming that are going to be terrible. People aren't going to be upright. You need to maintain your uprightness in spite of the persecution and everything you're going to go through. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 1. Paul said this to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be what? Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 3 of the chapter. Thou therefore endure what? Hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do when we're going through the battles? We're supposed to trust the Lord. Amen. The explanation of the upright. Who are the upright? They love the Lord. They fear the Lord. They obey the Lord. The expectation of the upright. What can upright people expect? They can expect blessings, but they can also expect battles. And then let me close with this point. Number 3. I want to talk to you just for a moment about what I'm going to call the extinction of the upright. The extinction. You see, what does that mean? That means this: upright people are becoming extinct. They're becoming extinct. The world has no concern for them. They're just concerned about animals that are becoming extinct. Godliness, faithfulness to God and the things of God is not on the rise. Amen. When the upright start to lose the battles against the flesh, the devil, and the world, they start to leave the paths of uprightness. Let me quote a verse for you. I wrote it down. Proverbs 2, verse 13. Proverbs 2:12 describes the person he's talking about in verse 13 as the evil man. Now listen to what it says. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Amen. What you have here is you got people who are upright, living for God, but then somehow, some way, though blessed of God, the battles, they start to lose them. They start to lose the battle against the flesh. When the flesh wins, you're gone. They start to lose the battle against the world. When the world wins, you're gone. They start to lose the battle against the devil. You're not going to live upright without paying the price. Amen? And many people, sad to say, begin to lose. Listen to this verse, 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas, Paul said this, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. At one time, Demas was an upright man. But somehow, some way, this world sucked him in. He left the paths of righteousness and walking with the Lord and doing uprightly to living in sin. Listen to this Psalm 12, verse number 1. The psalmist said this, David said, help, Lord. For the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail from among the children of men. Are we not in a day, and are we not in an age, where godly people, many of them, are succumbing to the battles, giving in and leaving the paths of righteousness? Amen. In the book of John, chapter number 6, and we'll turn here and I'll close with this, if you would. This will be our last text. John, chapter number 6, if you would. I'm going to ask Brother Ralph, if he would, in a moment. We're going to sing. It's I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. I think it's verse number or 31 in the chorus book. I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, 31 in the chorus book. We're going to sing that in a moment. But in John, chapter 6, by the way, this is a little crazy. I'm going to say, turn to John 6:66. I want you to see something. I think the numbers, you know, I'm not all into this, you know, mystical whatever, but it's just really something that this verse is John 6:66. Look at John 6:66. Notice what it says. I want you to see this. The people, many disciples that were following the Lord got confused when it came to the Lord talking about eating his body and drinking his blood. They didn't understand what he was saying, how he was saying it. But watch what happened in verse number 6:66. From that time, many of his disciples went back, and notice the next statement, and walked no more with him. See, there were people following the Lord, and they got into a situation where they were confused, and he stopped following him. Here's what Jesus said. Now, like, look at verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12. Now, the 12 were those that were the closest to Jesus, right? And I like this statement. Will you also go away? Many, many disciples were walking away from the Lord, not to walk with him anymore. And the Lord turned around and spoke to those that were closest to him and said, will you also go away? I can't help but think, as many, many people are leaving the Lord, being sucked into the world, and the flesh, the devil, leaving the Lord. I can't help but think of the question that comes to us. Will you also go away? And I would hope that we could say like Peter, verse number 68. Then said Peter unto, and then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? That's a good one, isn't it? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Needing a refuge for my soul. Right? Amen? Anybody heard that song before? Will you also go away? Many people are leaving me. Many people are forsaking me. The godly are ceasing. The faithful are failing. I look to you who know me and are close to me. Will you also go away? And Peter says, where are we going to go? That's why I said about when Brother Jason sang that song, he sang the Lord was his all in all. That's what he's got to become to us. Might I put it this way? The Lord has to become our island. Where else am I going to go? I burned the bridges behind me. Amen. The life I left and what I was and where I was. once I crossed over and came with the Lord and decided to follow, I burned those bridges. Then said Peter and answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You have everything we need. And we believe and we're sure, verse number 69, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. With that in mind, my song and my prayer for you as we sing this song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. May God help us to determine to be upright people, to live upright in spite of the battles that we must face. And sometimes the devil, the world, the flesh will trip us up. But may we not stay down. By the forgiveness and the blood of Jesus Christ, we can get right back up and we can continue to sing, I'm going to keep on following the Lord. Amen? Would you sing for us, brother?
Number 31 in the chorus book.
Here for a few moments. My wife would be up here if you're a lady, and if you have any questions about being saved, would love to talk to you and show you from the Bible how to be saved. Amen. And I thank God for all of us that are saved and who have decided to follow Jesus. And it's not always easy to follow the Lord, you know that. And it's tough and sometimes and it's rough, but may God help each and every one of us to determine to keep on following the Lord. Amen. No matter what we go through, in spite of our faults and failures, thank God for His forgiveness, His precious blood, that we can keep on keeping on. Next week is the first Sunday of the new month, And we're going to have the Lord's table, so invite everybody to come out for the Lord's table. But also, if you've been saved and you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism by immersion, according to the scriptures, and you'd like to be baptized, please come up front and see me and talk to you about it. Would love to baptize you next week. I just need to know by today so we can get the baptismal ready. But we sure love to do that for you, amen, according to the scriptures. Have a great day. We'll ask the Lord's blessing on our dismissal, and have a great day. And thank you for your attentiveness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word today. Thank you for the gathering. Thank you for the brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for a place where we can come and meet, where we can sing some wonderful hymns and hear some great songs sung. And thank you for a place where we can hear the word of God. We're not hearing it in the world, Lord. In fact, we're hearing the opposite from the world. It's so good to come to church and be reassured and just strengthened up about the truth of the word of God. Lord, help us to go into this world and Lord, not be sinfully wrong and aggressive and disrespectful and unkind or hurtful, but surely help us to live the kind of life among the lost that we ought to live. Give us courage and strength to be the lights in this crooked day and age that we live in. We'll thank and praise you. Please help everyone to get to their destination safely. Watch us and keep us through the week. If it be your will for us to return next week, Lord, if you don't return, we'd rather have you come back first. But if not, Lord, I pray you'll bless our gathering. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Have a great week and a great day. Amen.